spend a few minutes before Chatzos on Erev Tisha B'Av. As is well known, the light of the Moed of each of the unique special days starts becoming available on Erev the day as well. Erev Yom Kippur has a special light, Erev Shabbos. Erev Tisha B'Av also has its special light. And that's why we see some of the dinim of Tisha B'Av already applicable on Erev Tisha B'Av. The Sof learning already kicks in. There's certain things which are already available, and I want to try and utilize some of these moments, last few moments we have together for Bizman, just to try and focus our attention a little bit on what the unique avoid of the next 36 hours really is. 48 hours. And in truth, it's not just an avoider for Tisha B'Av. With all the Mu'adim, with all the days, the avoider is all the time. Pesach, Zman Cheruseinu, requires us to work on that every day. It's just that Pesach is the time that's mesugal for connecting to that unique light, but it has to be brought out all the time. And it's the same with Tisha B'Av. If you look in the Hagdama, Rav Chaim Feuer's Hagdama to the Art Scroll Kinnas, he says he started writing about Motzei Simchas Torah. You imagine more of a stirrer to Motzei Simchas Torah, to the kinnis of Tisha B'Av. So he phoned Rav Gifter Zatzal, his father-in-law, to ask him, how are you supposed to deal with this? So he said to him, you don't understand what Tisha B'Av is. Tisha B'Av is every day. A person has to say kinnis every day. I said, what's Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av is the unique day set aside to get in touch with what it really is, to charge those batteries so that you can use them every day for the rest of the year. Not enough to just get through and survive and be yotzis on Tisha B'Av. A person has to make an avoid and a shtaying out of Tisha B'Av so that he can use it the whole year. So let's try and understand a little bit. All of the Moedei Yisrael, all of the Yom Tovim that we have are called Yom Tov from the pasuk V'yarak Elokim Es Ha'or Ki Tov. Each of the Yom Tovim, that or the Yar Hashem Es Ha'or Ki Tov, Rashi says Hashem hid it away for the tzaddikim. Where did he hide it? He hid it away in the unique special days of the year. Pesach Hezitz, Chelek of the Oraganus, and Shavuos and Sukkos. Tisha B'Av also has its unique Chelek of the Oraganus. Tisha B'Av is called a Moed. We daven Minchasumi, we won't say Tachanun. We don't say Avinu Malkeinu, we don't say Tachanun on Tisha B'Av. It has certain aspects of a Moed. The simple pshat is because when Mashiach comes in, it's a Shem soon, Tisha B'Av will be converted into a Moed. Yoyim Shenoynet Bo-Mashiach. Tisha B'Av will have its unique space in the celebrations of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, even today, we have it has certain aspects of it. But there's a deeper pshat. Tisha B'Av is a Moed Kepshutoi, because it has its unique light, it has its unique aspect, which a person can utilize on Tisha B'Av for growth and development. What is that unique light? What is the avoid of Tisha B'Av? It's the avoid of seeing the truth. On Tisha B'Av we see the truth. Everything gets stripped away. Everything gets stripped away. And we left Kepshutoi, where are we? Eicho, where are we? It's a day where a Jew can't even greet another Jew. You can't hide away in chatting to your friends. You can't hide away from food. You have to sit down on the floor, on a hard floor or whatever, a bench or whatever, and confront yourself. If the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed out there, it's because it's destroyed in our hearts. Vasisili Mikdash the Shechanta B'Seichem, Akosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, build the heart, build your heart, build the Mikdash in your heart, and I'll dwell with you. And if, as the Yerushalmi tells us, that Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt before Shkia today, then we failed another year. We failed another year, we destroyed the Beis HaMikdash another year. And if it's destroyed, it's destroyed in our hearts, and we have to get to the truth of what's going on. There are things you can say on Tisha B'Av that you can't say the rest of the year. The things that you say to the rest of the year, it's too harsh, it's too stark, it's too... But on Tisha B'Av we can ask, Eicho, where are you? Where are you really holding? Strip off all the nonsense and get down to the core and see what really is destroying my inner Beis HaMikdash. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav, the beginning of Perek Vav. B'chol yoyim v'yoyim bas kol yoytzis maha achayrev. Every day a bas kol goes out from achayrev. U'machrozois v'ymeres. Oy lehem lebriyeis melboina shel teiro. Woe to the creation for the terrible, I don't know how you translate the word elbow in, it's disgrace, insult, yeah, all those words, but it doesn't gel up. The terrible disgrace to the Torah. And we can ask Akasha, all very well, 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, a bus call went out, there were people that could hear it. People could hear it. What's the mission telling me that a bus call goes out? What do I need to know this for? I can't hear any bus calls. What do I need a bus call for? A bus call is going out from Asina every day saying, oi, 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 what's with the disgust, with this grace to the Torah? So what does the bus call help me? What am I supposed to do with that? The bell kasha, everybody asks this kasha. They all answer that even though you can't hear it, but intuitively inside it gets a little bit of a taste of this bus call. Rabbi Hanan Wasserman, Hashem Yochum Domov, says a pshat which can only be said on Tisha B'Av, Erev Tisha B'Av. When we're allowed to use the Or HaGanuv, when we're allowed to use the special light that's just starting to filter through now, to just see a little bit what the truth is. Rabbi Hanan was writing before the Holocaust, and Rabbi Hanan said that the bas kol today is the Sonei Yisrael. The Sonei Yisrael, what we call anti-Semitism, is the bas kol going out from Har Sinai saying, Oy lehem lebriyos melboina shel teiro. Woe to my people, the disgrace to the Torah. I certainly can't say it, but there were Gedolei Yisrael that said and showed during the Holocaust, the big machlokes amongst the Gedolei Yisrael of the last generation, whether one's allowed to say this or not, but show some of the things that the Nazis in Yimach Shmei were doing were exactly connected, the avarice that were taking place. Rav Avigdor Miller in many places says and shows many, many different things. They shaved the people's, the woman's hair off there, he says, because they were covering their hair. Many things he says like this. The Gedolei Yisrael that said it's awesome to speak like that. You can't speak like that. I'm not going to belabor the point. I don't want to get into my focus. But there were Gedolei Yisrael that pinpointed exactly where the bus call was coming from. There were Gezeiras, the Nazis wouldn't let the Yidden go to the same schools. It was awesome for a German to marry a Yid. Why? Because there was assimilation. Yidden were marrying Esav's daughters. So a bas kol went out, we call it anti-Semitism, a bas kol went out and said you're not allowed to anymore. We have to listen. Each person has to listen to the bas kol. And the bas kol is screaming out loud today. Screaming out loud. On the one hand, Yishmael's out there very, very openly trying to kill us. Rahman al-Itzlaq. And on the other hand, Esav is coming in the guise of Achi and remarrying his daughters in masses. And who knows when he's going to turn around and start being Esav and stop being Achi. And the spokesman, if you want a bigger Chilul Hashem than this, I don't know if you can get it, the spokesman for the Jewish people today on the Chalal Shabbos and Oichel Treifers, who themselves are Sainat Torah and have spent an enormous amount of energy in the last few years trying to weaken and destroy the Torah world in this country. Do we need a bigger bus call? Do we need a bigger wake up call? So we don't have Naveem. And we don't have people that can hear bus calls. And even though we can hear the Sonei Yisrael, we don't know what we can do with it. We don't even know how to interpret it. How do you interpret what's going on here? You need a Yirmiyah Novi to come along and tell you what to do with it. But Yirmiyah Novi's already been And he's already told us what to do with it. And every generation is to face something that is not rebuilt. It's if we destroyed it. What was Yirmiyahu Navi telling the Jewish people before the destruction of Bais Rishon? Lama tem lo iskim b'toira. Why aren't you toiling in Torah? Now who am I speaking to? Except for myself, who's not Isaac in Torah here in this basement? Seems we need to redefine. We need to have a good hard look of what our appreciation of Torah is. We have to look at it through Chazal's eyes, and we have to have the opportunity here to use the light to just see a little bit what the truth is. If each of us were given one wish today, the little magic genie would come along and say, you have one wish, anything you want, you can have it. What would he ask for? What would we ask for? What did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ask for when he got given one wish? Give me a base midrash where Yidden can sit and learn. Not to stop the war. Not to stop the assimilation. Not panosa, not a new Volvo, not a nice new house. What would he ask for? It's a hard question to answer. But if you were given one wish today, and you're a Yid, and you care about what's going on out there, you care about what's going on to the Yid, and care about what's been going on to the Yid for the last 2,000 years, the collective trauma and suffering of the Jewish people condensed into 24 hours, and you're asked one thing you could ask for. Ten li yavne v'chachmei, or why? Why? Why that? When Yaakov Avinu comes into Yitzchok to get the brachas, pretending to be Esav, Yaakov says, "Akol kol Yaakov," I hear the voice of Yaakov, "Aval hayadayim shel Esav." When I feel him, I feel the sheepskin, I feel the woolly, the hard wool, I feel Esav. And Chazal tell us, when the kol Yaakov is strong, the yadayim of Esav are weak. When the kol of Yaakov, when the kol of Torah is strong, so then the yadayim, the ability of Esav to damage us, is weak. And the opposite is also true. When the Kol Yaakov is weak, then Esav has enormous power over us. And everybody knows that personally. Everybody knows what it's like. You go home, you have a banner's money or whatever, or you're just not learning well or whatever. The person knows when he's not learning, when he's not steiging, when he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. It's hard out there. The Yetzirah strengthens enormously. And it works like that on a private level, on a microcosmic level, and it works like that on a macrocosmic level. When the Kol Yaakov, then the Yadayim of Esav are weak. We have to make ishtadlus. A person has to do what he has to do. I'm not talking. Sometimes a person has to do things. You can't. A person has to know what he has to do. There was a war in this country 15 years ago, which some people noticed, some people didn't. There were miracles. The war we're going through at the moment forces us to reevaluate that war and ask us, Eicha, where are we really holding in our shkofas? 15 years ago, Iraq was bombing Israel on a daily basis with missiles that when used in other places killed hundreds of people. One person got killed in I think a two, three week period, with dozens of these missiles being fired into densely populated areas, Tel Aviv, these kind of places. And the amazing thing was is that the Israelis, we weren't allowed to lift a finger. The political organization at that time, we weren't allowed to fire one bullet back. And nothing happened. One person got killed, who was a Mechalel Shabbos. Who wasn't just a Mechalel Shabbos, he was a guy who used to go around disturbing other people's Shabbos in the. And today, I'm not saying we shouldn't be making shtadlus out there. I don't know. I'm not Yirmiyahu Navi. I don't know what we should be doing. I'm saying we should be looking at this through Torah eyes. Today, with all these shtadlus and with all the koich of Eitzim Yodi, what's happening? Where are we? If we were asked, what do you think we should do out there on the border today, would anyone think, don't do anything, just sit still?
Go into your little quiet rooms and say Tehillim? Who would think of saying such a thing? And yet 15 years ago, that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us we can do. I'm not saying practically whether you can do this or not. That's not the discussion. Sometimes you have to know when to fight, sometimes you have to know when not to fight. I don't know. That you have to ask a Goyim Yisrael for. I'm saying the ha'ara, the inside, a person has to look and see. It's not so pashut. We've been brought up from early ages. I got to where I got. I've got so much money because I worked for it, and it's deeply embedded in us. And Chazal says, Shekra, Kol Yaakov. The secret weapon we have is Torah. And if we don't appreciate that, and we don't recognize that, and we're not prepared to stick our necks out for that, then the bus call that's going on from Har Sinai is talking directly to each and every one of us. Ten li yavne v'chachmeya. Who asks for that? When you can take anything, when you're in the middle of a Holocaust, and you get given one wish, what do you ask for? Beis Midrash? That's Chazal. That's Chazal. Are we generally aligned with that worldview? Do we really appreciate that we're not aligned with that worldview? It's a Chilul Hashem. That we're out of touch with reality. Let's go one step further. Why am I learning Torah? I've got the message. Tell me, Avner Chachmai, I understand. That's the echo. So I want to learn. Why am I learning? When I walk into the Beis Midrash every day, when I start at the beginning of this month, what am I doing? What is my goal for this month? What am I hoping to achieve? What's the goal? To improve my skills? To learn better? To get promoted into another shir, a higher shir? What are my goals? Those of you that are coming back to Yeshiva next month, ask yourself, when you're sitting on the floor, what am I trying to achieve here? Why am I learning Torah? What is this? Why am I learning Torah? Has anybody asked themselves this question in the last 3 months? What are my goals? Why am I here? If I'm not learning Torah because I want to build a relationship with the Kosh Baruch Hu, then what Torah is this? If it's all about me and about my growth and about my status symbol and standing in society, I don't know if you can even say this on Erev Tisha B'Av, but the Gemara tells us the citizens of Mechuza are destined for Gehenna. Who were they? So the greatest Talmid HaChachomim and the greatest learning period in the history of the Jewish people, and yet the Gemara testifies that they're destined Yared the Gehenna. And the Goyin explains why. Because in those days, we don't know what this means, this is difficult for us to understand, but in those days the most sought after people in the business world, Mechuza was a major trade center, sort of the Silicon Valley of bubble. And the most sought after people in business were the Talmidei Chachamim. They were the cleverest people, the most creative, the most educated. And so everybody wanted to learn and grow and strive because they wanted the best jobs. So on the outside it looks like everybody's in Torah and everyone's striving and producing unbelievable. Yared, the Gehenna, the Gemara says about them, why? Where's Hashem? A lot of you have come up to me and said, what am I doing on Tisha B'Av? What am I mourning on Tisha B'Av?
So I don't have a Beis HaMikdash. I don't know what it was like to have a Beis HaMikdash. I don't know what it's like not to have a Beis HaMikdash. If God forbid someone close to me passes away, I can sit shiver because I know what it was like to have them, and I can feel the pain of not having them, but I don't know what it means not to have a Beis HaMikdash. You know what it means? It means you don't have a relationship with Hashem. What we're mourning from Tisha B'Av is where are you, Hashem? The Navi says, Eicha, where are you, Klal Yisrael? And Klal Yisrael sits on the floor of Tisha B'Av and says, Eicha, where are you, Hashem? No relationship with Hashem. Does it bother us? Are we worried about it? Every bit of suffering, every bit of pain, every bit of confusion comes about from the fact that we don't have to Beis HaMikdash because we don't have a Kadosh Baruch Hu with us. Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. A person has to stop and think. What ways are he going? What is he in Torah for? Why am I learning? What am I here for? Im ein yira ein chokma. The academics will tell you, if you don't learn, you won't know. And they're right. And yet Chazal tell us, you can learn as much as you want, but in ein yira, your Torah is not Torah, your chokma is not chokma. It might look like Torah, but it's not. Rav Ovi says, someone who's learning Torah is not learning from a Rav. Shimusha godol mi limudoy. You have two people sitting and learning together, and they're steiging together, and they're growing together, and they're working together. The one learns from a Rav, and the other one doesn't. Rav Ovi says, he's chutz mi machane Torah. He's not in the machane Torah. So when the bus call goes out and says, what about the disgrace to my Torah? He says, you're not talking to me. I'm learning. I'm learning. What do you want from me? Baskal says, I'm talking to you. That's not called Torah. Torah has its Hilchos Talmud Torah, and it comes with its guidelines and its systems that need to be used. And you can't use secular pedagogical knowledge and psychology in order to know how to learn Torah. Person can learn engineering, and he stops learning for a week, he's not going to forget what he learned a week ago. How is it to remember what you learned half an hour ago in Torah? You stop learning for 5 minutes, you're disconnected. Torah is about connection, it's about a relationship. It's about building relationships. Korol araisi ishti. Korol araisi biti. Achoisi. What's the Torah telling us? It's defining the different ways a person has to relate to his learning. And has to bring himself into that relationship. His own unique qualities and strengths and weaknesses, the same as you bring into any relationship. I can't tell you how to relate to a friend of yours. I can't tell you how to relate to your wife. That a person has to take his own unique self and bring that into the relationship. Don't wait for somebody to do it for you. A Jew who learns Torah the way he's supposed to understand is part of Klal Yisrael. The Torah and the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, it's all the same thing. When he's learning Torah, does he spare a thought for the person for 1 minute a day? Does he spare a thought for somebody out there who never knows what Torah is, who's never tasted the sweetness of Torah? Who doesn't know what it is to look at the world through Torah, to have some clarity, to know what he's living for? To know that he has a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he has a loving father that's caring for him and taking care of him, care for him. Does it pain us for 1 minute a day? That the people out there that don't know what we're talking about? If it doesn't, then how can your Torah be called Torah? Knowing my encounters with all of you, everybody here is yearning. Feel the lack of what a spiritual existence must look like.
not the kind of existence that we're forced to kind of survive by. Yeah, I'll learn to the best of my ability, but you know, but you got to take care. You got to have a panos, and you got to have a home, you got to have a car, and you got to live, and you got to function. You got to do what you got to do. But a life that radiates ruchnias, a life that when you walk outside, you see the truth. You know, having a base of mikdash didn't mean that, you know, up in the mountain in Yerushalayim there was this beautiful building, and when you went in there, you saw some miracles, and there was some great stuff going on there. Having a base of mikdash meant that when you walked outside, you saw the truth. When you walked outside, we saw what the world really is. Maisa Elokim. We didn't see coincidences and socio-economic factors, and you saw Kodesh Baruch Hu. Not having a base of mikdash means we walk outside, we see sheker. Olam sheker. We don't see the truth. Our learning, our she'ifas in learning, have to be beyond just learning how to learn. Our she'ifas in learning have to be how to connect to Emes, how to connect to Kosh Boch, how to see the truth, how to look at the world through Torah eyes. And if not, then that's a disgrace to the Torah. If we reduce the Torah down to an academic subject. If we get the correct shock, when we see the truth, Tisha B'Av, we get the correct shock, the correct impetus, then we're ready to start the 7 weeks, the 7 special haftorahs that start on Shabbos Nachamu, the stepladder out of Tisha B'Av that eventually takes us into Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and finally the Sukkos and the Shmini Atzeres, into the Chayde Yichud with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if we don't get a shock on Tisha B'Av, if we don't get a wake up call on Tisha B'Av, how are you going to get Elul sorted out? What are you going to do in Elul? Everything's fine. I'm learning, I'm governing, I'm doing much better than I was last year. The Yetzirah comes with this kasha every Erev Rosh Hashanah. What have to be worried about this Rosh Hashanah? I'm much better than I was last Rosh Hashanah and I survived. I'm doing much better than I was last year. And look, I'm still here. So what have to worry about this Rosh Hashanah? It's a good kasha, no? And most of us buy into it. Because it's a safe place to be, but on Tisha B'Av you can't buy into that question, because on Tisha B'Av the truth is just too apparent. When you walk outside and you see the Beis HaMikdash burning, when you look inside and you see your own personal Beis HaMikdash up in flames, you can't avoid that question. You can't ignore it. We have to know that yes, you might be doing better. But if you haven't done tshuva for what you did last year, the bucket's getting fuller and fuller. And you don't know when the last drop's going to go into that bucket and spill over. And it requires tshuva to empty out the bucket. It requires tshuva to empty out the bucket. If there's no tshuva, the bucket is getting full and full. And you might be doing better than you were last year, but it doesn't mean you're going to make it for another year. But of course, Baruch Hu gets together on Rosh Hashanah to decide, is he going to create me for another year? Am I going to get another year's luck? The realization that that's what's going on Rosh Hashanah has to start now on Tisha B'Av. I've heard it from Talmid Chacham, if a person doesn't do the work on Tisha B'Av properly, Rosh Hashanah is almost impossible. There's no distractions on Tisha B'Av. You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. There's no escapes. The person has to sit down and confront reality. And the Oraganu, the special light, the unique brilliance of Tisha B'Av is there to be utilized, there for us. When a person cries because he's missing a relationship with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that is the closest you'll ever get to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Those moments when the truth hits home and it's painful and we cry, that is Dveikus. But if everything's fine and I'm okay and I'm a lot better than them out there, then Tisha B'Av is just another waste of the day, another inconvenience on my road to glory.
Tisha B'Av we're yearning for a Beis HaMikdash, for return of the Shechinah to Klal Yisrael, for an end to the Chilul Hashem, the twisted attitude out there towards Klal Yisrael, the cloud difficulties and the personal difficulties. But what we're really yearning for, what we really want, what we're crying out for, is the kind of life that our fathers lived. The spiritual existences of an Avraham Avinu. To meet a Moshe Rabbeinu. To speak in learning with the Chofetz Chaim. To know what it was to meet a 13-year-old in Yushas Baal Peh. One grandmother once told me, Kelm, you didn't have to learn Musa, you walked in the street and you absorbed it. That's what we're lacking. But what we're really yearning for, and what we're really missing, is to live in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. To walk with Hashem. That's the pain we feel. Every bit of suffering and every bit of pain that we feel goes all the way back to that fateful night when the Maraglim returned and Klal Yisrael cried Leil Tisha B'Av. Because they didn't understand who the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was. They didn't understand what it means. Rachamim Ein Sofis. On Tisha B'Av, when we hit these lows and we confront ourselves and it's painful, how are we going to get out of this mess? How are we going to get out of this? Sorry to do this to you again, but we have to return back to Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Why do you want to have children? Because he saw with Ruach HaKodesh what was going to come out of it. Menashe, yeah? Menashe ben Chizkiyahu, probably the greatest Rosha that ever lived. He was the grandson of Yishaya Novi, and he murdered Yishaya Novi. He says the streets of Yerushalayim were full of blood. Chazal tell us it was because Menashe murdered Yishaya. All the work Chizkiyahu HaMelech had done to rebuild Klal Yisrael, he was on the verge of being Mashiach. Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, the Kosh Boch was about to appoint him Mashiach. That was the pinnacle he'd reached. Menashe undid every piece of work that there was. He worshipped every Avodah Zorah that there was in the world. And when finally he gets caught by Melech Bovel and he's put into a pot and he's been cooked alive, Mashuna de Kamisa, he calls out to every one of the Avodah Zorahs that he'd worshipped all his life, and none of them answered. And finally he turns around and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have a Messiah for my fathers and grandfathers. That even when a person's at the last moment of his life, he shouldn't give up, and if he does tshuva, you'll makabel him. Now I'm saying to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you save me, then you're HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you don't, then you're no better than all the other Avodah Zorahs in the world. I'm asking you to save me. And the Malachim are outraged by this chutzpah. And they rush to slam the gates of the different shamayims that the tefillahs have to go through. Until the tefillahs can't penetrate. And the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself dug a tunnel under his kisei kavod and allowed the tefillah of Menashe to come through the back door, so to speak. And a big wind blew and it blew him out of the pot and eventually came back to Shalayim, and the story continues. What was Menashe's taina? Menashe was an enormous Talmud Chacham. What was his taina?
Tana was like this. If you don't answer me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why not? Because I'm too big a Rosha. I've gone too far for you to take me back. That means then that your rachamim is finite. However big it might be, but it's finite. And if it's finite, then you're the same as the Avodah Zorah, because they're also finite. But if you save me, that's a giloy that you're a Kodesh Baruch Hu and your rachamim is infinite. Doesn't matter how far you've gone, doesn't matter how low you've gone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim is infinite. A person will do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's makabali miyad. Miyad. When we confront the truth on Tisha B'Av of who we are, Eicha, where are we really? So sometimes it feels hopeless. That's why we don't confront the truth, because we don't know any way out of here. When you recognize who you're dealing with, that's the beginning of the Teshuva process. It starts on Tisha B'Av and ends. Well, it doesn't end, but it continues through peaks on Yom Kippur. That's the beginning of the Avodah of Revel. I just want to speak very briefly just about Bein Hazmanim and just one or two practical things about what's happening in the next few hours tomorrow. Bein Hazmanim is always a challenge. It's always a challenge. But we usually kind of deal with it in a very easy way, because the Zman's finished, we worked hard, we're tired, and now we're having a holiday, we're having a break. This year it's a little bit more difficult. The Jewish people's at war. Close to 500,000 Jews in this country are refugees. With all that goes with it. Those that aren't are living in bomb shelters with all that goes with it. Summer vacation plans are being re-evaluated. And it's not just in Eretz Israel. In America, Jews are in Sakana. Everywhere in the world. Klal Yisrael faces enormous difficulties. Some yeshivas have decided to extend the Zman, not have Bein Hazmanim. Some yeshivas have decided yes to have Bein Hazmanim. We are not extending Bein Hazmanim the Zman. We've decided to yes have a Bein Hazmanim, but a Jew has to understand what Bein Hazmanim is there for. Avadu is there to have a break. Worked hard, been difficult, physically, emotionally, spiritually. It's been an incredible month. Viridas and aliyahs, challenges, battles, difficulties, struggles, celebrations, highlights. It needs to be brought home, it needs to be consolidated, it needs to be celebrated. Plans have to be made for the new month. It's a time for reflection. Yes, we need a break. But it doesn't mean we can just throw off the yoke of everything we're doing and just party out there. Those of us staying in the yeshiva, it'll be easier. Those of you in the chutz laretz, before you leave, you have to be very clear what your goals are, where you're headed, and what you're planning on achieving. When Klal Yisrael is in suffering, a Jew has to share in that suffering. Wherever we are. Hakol ha'ilech achat chola. Everything goes off to the beginning. The Zman starts Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. It's Hashem. And this is changes, we'll let you know. Everyone should try and get back on time. We were under pressure, a little bit of pressure, to start this month even earlier. Some yeshivas that aren't extending this month or starting a bit earlier, whatever it is. People are traveling, people have plans, difficult to change them. I'm not asking anyone to change anything. But we want to start Elul on Elul. To miss Rosh Chodesh Elul is difficult. You can't be back. At least remember that it's Rosh Chodesh Elul. At least use the day for what it's meant to be used for.
Just some practical details. We're going to have a mincha now. Lunch will be served as usual in the dining room. I need to speak to one bocher who just wants to take upon himself the responsibilities for the Suda HaMafsekes. There's a Suda that we eat just before Shkia, which is made up primarily of bread, ashes and a boiled egg. It's eaten sitting on the floor just before Shkia. I was under the impression that all Yishroim was still going to be here and Mairi was going to be davened here. So no plans were made for Mairi. Some of the best suggestion is as a yeshiva to make a plan of where you want to daven, either at the Kippur Shul or Baruch Kopshet. And go together and daven. It's kinnis. Tomorrow, there's, I'm not sure, 7 o'clock I think the tender's leaving.
Huh?
6:50 the tender's leaving for Matisyahu, the Moshav Matisyahu for Rav Lev Shul. Everyone's highly encouraged to go with. One of the hardest things to do on Tisha B'Av is to sit and say kinnis, you don't know what you say. So then when you're trying to get in touch with yourself and the truth and reality, and you're saying some ancient words that make no sense whatsoever, it's a very difficult challenge to do in the best of places. At least at Moshav Matisyahu, it's explained, there's an atmosphere, there's a person getting in touch a little bit with what's going on. And don't just use it for tomorrow, because we won't have another Tisha B'Av, but you may not be in the environment where you can have that sort of support system in the future. Take it with you so you can use it if we ever, Rahman al-Salam, have to use it again. Maariv tomorrow night, organize a Maariv. There will be a meal provided here. There will be meals here tomorrow night for breaking the fast for the Bokhrim that are here. And then Bainer's money will start. Those of you that are staying on, that will be around next week, we'll make the normal arrangements that we make for food and stuff like that, the way we always do Bainer's money. Those of you that are here are reminded that next Shabbos Mitzvah Hashem is the offer for Gershon Sermon. Everyone who can be should try and make an effort to be here. And also at the Chassin Mitzvah Hashem, the Shah Toiva, on Sunday evening. I'm not inviting this, it's his job, but you know, we'd like to provide him as much of a support system from the yeshiva as we possibly can. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us that all our yearnings, all our strivings, all our she'ifas should come to fruition. Not by the security situation being improved, not by the health situation, not by the panasa situation, but by Him HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself in the way He took us out of Mitzrayim, redeeming us again Himself, taking it out of this galus. We should hear a bus call going out, not saying, oi, 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 but it's grace to Torah, but a bus call going out that says, die! Enough! You've been redeemed. That's the yearning. To go back, to live in the palace, to be with a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the palace, in the inner sanctums, in the inner chamber. That's our yearning, that's our striving. We should be zeichet to see it soon. Here is the reveal of the